Breakfast is on us. 102.9 Fresh FM.
7:09 on Namibia's Heart and Soul. Thank you once again for choosing your favorites, the NSK and Sheikh Juan on Namibia's Heart and Soul. Now, listen, we all know what's happening in the country right now in the midst of elections. And, you know, we're choosing our next political establishment for the next 4.5 years. And, you know, there's a lot of news that's coming at us fast. It's hard to sometimes contextualize some of this news that is hitting us. And hence why we need the brains of people like Rui Chitende, a political analyst, political lecturer at the University of Namibia, soon to be Dr. Chitende, by the way, because he's also a PhD candidate at the Stellenbosch University in the field of political science. Now, please note the views and opinions of Abuti Rui Chitende during this conversation is not that of Fresh FM and, by extension, Future Media. Thank you so much, my good sir, for making the time for us today. It's good to have you here.
Thank you, and good morning to your listeners.
You know, for political scientists like you, for a political head like you, it must be an exciting period for you right now with what's happening with the country, with everything that's happening, the elections, all the drama. It must be exciting for you.
absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, because, you know, we study these things methodologically. And also, elections are at the heart of any democratic process. It's the only avenue that we as citizens are able to hold our elected leaders accountable. So if that process does not go smoothly, and I think maybe that's why you earlier said you are not feeling this December. We are all in a state of depression because of what has happened since Wednesday last week. The elections has been marred by a lot of irregularities, you know, long queues, frustration, ballot papers not being at polling stations across the country, various constituencies across the regions. So yeah, I'm actually disappointed.
Let's talk about you know, just because, you know, there's been a lot of debate about the extension of the voting beyond the 27th. My question to you is, from your expert analysis, is it legal and is it constitutional? Because, you know, the Section 64 of the Electoral Act is what has been cited loosely in this conversation. Is it legal? Is it constitutional? What do you see here?
I'm not a legal scholar, but I've spoken to legal minds, and they said, no, this is purely illegal. It can be challenged because this first needs to be gazetted days in advance already so that people know that, look, because it is a voting still. Extension, nowhere does it speak about extension in the legal framework. So we do not know what provision they actually use to say that the election has been extended. And more importantly, why only in those areas that they have identified?
Come on.
Were there serious problems in those areas or not? Windhoek was one of the areas that was massively affected by long queues, people not having an opportunity to cast their vote. And then you look at areas in the north. We never had any reports of a lack of ballot papers or long queues. So people are asking these questions. Why is it that those were selected and not Walvispaai and not Swakop? The answer is obvious. Those are not the strongholds of the governing party.
I'm going to put you on the spot here, my good sir. And we're going to be a bit extreme right now, right? Could you kindly contextualize circumstances and factors that will warrant a complete restaging of the elections?
Look, we need to look at the mission reports of the SADC observer mission, of the AU observer mission. And I didn't go into the intricacies of the stories that appeared in the Windhoek Observer, the front page, that says one of the missions actually ordered a nullification of the election. I don't know what they have discovered. But nonetheless,
I'm curious about the word order, though.
Now, legally, if the election ought to be challenged, if it is the presidential election, the Supreme Court is the first court of instance where you can challenge it. If it is the National Assembly one, it's this electoral court, which is housed in the High Court. Now, it is not the first time that an election will be challenged in Namibia, especially a presidential one. The 2019 one was challenged, as well as the one in 2009. So that is, this is nothing new that will happen. But whether that will happen, only time will tell. We will need to look at the filing affidavits of the opposition parties as to why they need to convince the court as to why this election need to be held again. And as you might know, it will be an expensive exercise. And will the electorate have that appetite to go and stand in queues again? Or will the ECN do something fundamentally different? And will it be the current commissioners that are part of this mess that will be conducting this election again? Will it be new commissioners? And what does the law say? Will it be within 60 days? Will it be in 100 days? Mm-hmm. Or will it be in the next 6 months? When will the next election take place? Should a rerun occur?
And does the act even speak to that?
It does speak to that if a rerun is to be ordered.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not so sure exactly about the time frame that is involved there. But I can guarantee you that if it is with the current commissioners, I don't think that will be practical, because legitimacy is at the heart of this process right now. They have been tainted. People are not happy with the entire process, the way it is unfolded. And look, the ECN, no matter how they want to defend themselves, they had ample time to prepare for this election.
You know what? And sorry to just interject right now. And I just want to know, because we've been talking about, you know, you've had ample time. Some people are saying, you know, you've had 4 years, or they had 4 years or 5 years. How long did they actually have to prepare for this specific elections?
This date was the election date. We knew about it already last year. It was going to take place on the 27th of November. But during that period as well, in the beginning of the year, the ECN had to do the general voter registration. They need to do with the voter education. They had to deal with the procurement of a company that was supposed to print the ballot papers. And I think that time that they allowed, that they allowed themselves to do all of these things,
mm-hmm.
was actually what caught up with them. So it was poor planning from the get-go. So I do not know whether heads will roll or not. If we were a serious country, we would have seen commissioners resigning already.
And
some were talking about, no, we need to invoke certain provisions of the Electoral Act if commissioners have to be removed. But I have a problem with that legal instrument. By its very nature, it says the president needs to appoint a select committee that will investigate any misconduct of the commissioners.
And how long will that take?
How long will that take? Yeah.
Again, how long will that take is the question. Will it be 3 months? Will it be 6 months? Will it be 12 months?
And in the meantime, like, we're in a vacuum. What
happens? You know?
So, but at this point, like, the president hasn't pronounced himself on anything pertaining to the elections and ECN, right?
He did, actually. Okay. And he said the ECN is not at fault. Those were his remarks.
Wait, what? I mean,
he said the ECN is not at fault. That's what he said at Steakhouse.
He said
the ECN is not at fault. And they should not be blamed for what has happened. But I think the processes, the systems and the institutions that are in place that governs these elections, the ones that have just occurred, is the worst that has happened since independence. And I think the ECN is to be blamed. And one would think that they actually manage this election somewhere in Gaza or Syria or Somalia, because they were nowhere to be seen.
Sure.
Political parties were looking for them the day of the election, the day after the election, for 30 hours. They were nowhere to be seen. And people were like, what's going on? You know, we need information. The media was asking, where are you guys? Nowhere to be seen. Presiding officials were actually looking for their superiors to tell them, these are the challenges that we're experiencing at
on
various
ground,
polling stations. Please come to, nothing is happening.
Sure. All right. So if you can maybe just clarify the role and mandate of international observers for us, or for the listener that's actually listening right now.
Well, look, international observers, they are there to come and witness the process as to whether it complies with the existing legal framework of a particular country. But in terms of, they are basically just there to express their opinion. They don't have the legal muscle or authority to overturn
any
election. They can say it was not free, fair and credible. But it is, the onus is on the political leadership to say whether that stays or not. But the problem is, do the current political leadership benefit if there's no rerun? Or if there's a rerun, do they benefit? That's the question that we need to ask.
I mean, now that you mention international observers, could it be a bit then misplaced for opposition to be directing their anger at the international observers? Because the international observers did say in their preliminary report that that the elections were fine. know, that were fair and credible. And, you know, opposition, you know, push back against that, and, you know, they voice their anger against them. But you're saying now they don't actually have any legal muscle. So, how important is there, are they
opinion
then, if they say this thing was fair or this thing was not fair?
No, their opinion actually, it does matter. Because, you know, we are being watched around the world. Namibia is being always labeled as one of the most democratic countries in the world. And if you cannot conduct your elections in a free, impartial, and credible manner, it somehow places a cloud over your head. Now, if the observers are saying that everything was good, everything was okay, you know, and the opposition parties are saying it's not, and they have been attacking actually the observers to say that who are you to come and tell us that this thing was free and fair. We were on also on the ground. We had our party agents that witnessed what actually transpired on the ground, you know. So again, they don't have any muscle or legal muscle to say we are not accepting these elections. They can have their opinion, provide their report, but we are governed by our constitution. We have our laws, we have our institutions. Those will ultimately determine as to whether there will be a runoff or not.
Also, they dropped that Prem report. They dropped that report in the midst of the extension. So how do they come to that conclusion if the voting didn't actually finish legally, if you think about it?
It's because they actually made it quite clear to say that it's quite confusing. It's confusing in the sense that you have election results that are being announced at various polling stations across the country.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, you had this extension of voting. People are still voting. So at one point, people are voting. At another point, election results are being announced. Does it not perhaps also influence voters as the election results are coming out?
When the special vote results were dropped, I asked the same question. Does that not?
It does in a way, especially for the undecided voter, because you have three category of voters. You have a voter that knows exactly which party they are going to vote for. You have a voter that does not know which party they are going to vote for. And then you have those ones, you know, they're just there floating, you know.
Not
even sure whether they are going to vote. They actually said, I'm not going to vote, but they are eligible to vote. So what does it make to that person? They say, as the results are coming and Party A is leading, Party B is losing, I think I'll go for the winning team in this instance.
My question is, you know, just maybe for someone who's listening right now, who hasn't necessarily ever paid attention to politics like that, has this ever been done before? Is that the way that it's supposed to be done? That, you know, like the special voting, for example, like if that goes ahead, then results just have to be released immediately.
It depends on the legal framework of a particular country, and that's one of the questions that one of the observers actually asked me. So it actually means it does not happen in their jurisdiction, you know, because they're saying, how can you have a special voting taking place and the election results already being announced? But our legal framework makes provision for it. The moment elections have taken place, you need to paste them there. People can take pictures, not the ECN, people take pictures and it's sent out.
Circulated,
and,
yeah.
And, you know, within this old age of misinformation and disinformation, someone can manipulate those results and send them out as well. And people will think it's true.
All right. It's 7:22 on Namibia's Heart and Soul. Soon to be Dr. Roy Chitende is in studio, political analyst. We'll continue with this conversation, but stick around.
Picture this. You're driving in the city and you're constantly... Barongo, your home on 87.8.
It's 7:24 on Namibia's Heart and Soul. Thank you so much for choosing us. We appreciate it. Roy Chitende is in studio. He's a political analyst. He's a politics lecturer at the University of Namibia, and also soon to be doctor because he's a PhD candidate at the Stellenbosch University in the field of political science. And once again, just a reminder that the views and opinions of Abudi Roy Chitende during this conversation is not necessarily that of Fresh FM and by extension, Future Media. All right, let's look at some more here, Abudi Roy. To what extent might the Electoral Commission of Namibia's procedural and logistical challenges, including the interruption of voting at some polling stations, influence the credibility and outcome of the elections?
Well, look, Elections are at the heart of any democratic process.
Yeah.
They are the means by which the electorate have an opportunity to elect leaders that they would want to hold accountable. So two things can happen. It's either they vote them out of power, because they are not happy with what they've done over a certain period, or they maintain them in power because they are happy with the status quo. And this only happens after every 5 years. So people can be out there in the streets, in the shebeens, at the football stadium or wherever, complaining about poor service delivery. It's only at the ballot box where you get to decide whether I still want this government in power or not. Now, the mishaps that have happened with the ECN, it was actually an onslaught on our democracy. They basically took a dagger and threw it in the heart of our electoral process, our democracy. And somehow they also impinged on the sovereignty of the Namibian people, because people were excited. And, you know, we were out there as academics encouraging young people to participate in the electoral process. The media also was doing their part. Go out and vote. Your vote matters, because politics affects us all.
People turned up?
And they turned up. And they did. They turned up. They turned up. I was actually excited to see young people having conversations about the elections. I've never seen it happening before. Because they'll always say, no, politics is for old people. You know, it's for my uncle that was in the liberation struggle. You know, it's not for me.
And because of that, I'll vote for said party because
Absolutely. But now I can see how my material conditions are actually being affected by decisions being made by political leaders. Hence, I will hold them accountable in one way or another. Whether it's to vote them out or to vote them in. So, yeah, the credibility of the elections, you know, legitimacy is at the heart of politics. In the elections, it's at the cornerstone of how we elect our leaders. So in this instance, knowing what has transpired since Wednesday, there's no thinking Namibian that will think that this process went smoothly. Of course, it was not supposed to be perfect.
Yeah.
Have hiccups here and there, but having hiccups in 121 constituencies, having hiccups in all 14 political regions, that's just way too much. It's as if the ECN, the elections occurred on Wednesday, one would think that the ECN prepared for this entire process only 2 days prior, which was the Monday.
Which was the Monday,
you know, and this is unacceptable in our democracy. It's an insult to the intelligence of the Namibian electorate. And one can also see the depth of ignorance and arrogance that is being displayed by the ECN and its leadership. They don't want to take responsibility for what has happened.
Sure.
You know, and that tells you something. I was there at the ECN's head office throughout the week. I was at the various polling stations, and you could see the queue of people being eager to vote, the conversations that we are having, and people were saying, you know what, it's 12 a.m. I will not leave this queue. I've been here since 4 a.m. I will not leave this queue
until I cast my vote.
And then you look at the extension of the voting only taking place in certain regions and in certain constituencies. And one would ask the obvious questions. What was the criteria that was used by the ECN to say, you know what, we are going to identify these ones? But we all know that there were problematic polling stations across the country. People from the south were saying, why not us? People from the coast were saying, why not us? People from the east were saying, why not us? So again, one would really want to know, what was the criteria that they actually used to extend the voting, notwithstanding the fact that it was completely illegal?
That part. So perhaps you can just tell us right now, what policy changes would you recommend moving forward to somewhat improve efficiency?
Look, I fundamentally have a problem with the way the commissioners are appointed. The president has a role in the appointment of commissioners. The president is the head of state. The president is a central political figure in our democracy. The president belongs to a political party. This political party indirectly influences the composition and the policies of the government of the day. So the president should have no say in someone that will determine as to whether his party stays in power or not. We should relegate or delegate that responsibility either to the National Assembly, comprising of different political parties, and also of civil society organizations, you know, credible civil society organizations that will have a key role to play in the appointment of commissioners. the president should be removed. It should just be a role of the National Assembly with the different political parties.
Yeah. Mm. Well, Abudere Chitende, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate you. And the knowledge-based conversation that we have. And you will not be a stranger, please. You know, you will be back.
No, absolutely.
A couple more times as the things unfold. Mm. Yeah. One last question before I let you go. Our colleagues are waiting for you. Mm. One last question. Why did we use a pencil to vote?
I actually put that up on my status the day after voting, and people were like, it has been done before, you know, because if you use a permanent marker or a pen, it might, you know, damage the paper once you fold it, the ink and things like
that.
I was not convinced. Yeah, the ink apparently. And then one colleague from Botswana was like, that's a joke, someone can simply take an eraser and you know,
erase
or You're supposed to make a cross, right?
Yeah.
You can just take the pencil and extend it such that it's protrude to another candidate or political party. Then that's a rejected ballot.
My goodness. Okay. Mm. Well, the debates will continue. 7:31, that's your time. Thank you so much for staying with us. We've got the news lined up on top of the hour. We will reveal right now what will be in the bulletin. We'll have a look at your weather and we'll have a look at your business. And then we'll perhaps also take a couple of voice notes from you.
Breakfast is on us. 102.9 Fresh FM. Fresh FM.